My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Hour number two of the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Anthony, I do not have the Not My Beat opener over here. Do you have it over there? I think what we've discovered in part is there might be two different internets in the old building here, and Anthony seems to be on some of his stuff connected to one, and I'm connected to the other, which is not currently connected. So, without further ado, because I've now stalled long enough for Anthony to pull up the audio, it's time for Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
All right, let's get to it with my new seatmate in the press box at Northwest. Is it stadium or field, Michael? I was so proud of myself yesterday on the Take Command live stream postgame that I said Northwest, not FedEx. And then I think I got it wrong because I was like Northwest Field, but it's Northwest Stadium, right?
It's stadium. It was FedEx Field, Commander's Field, now Northwest Stadium. I think we can all agree it's got that little je ne sais quoi stadiumness to it now that really has been missing for a while.
I mean, there were definitely upgrades in there yesterday. That was my first time there. I didn't go in the preseason. And like some of the new hallway paintings and stuff is nice. I wish I had a chance to walk around a little bit more, but the ingress is not quite up to where I think they want it quite yet. So it took me quite a while to get inside, Michael. But sure, stadium.
I respect your ingress issues. I had problems with the egress, so I believe both cresses were suboptimal.
Oh, how late were you there? Did you get out like right after?
I left, I'm going to say, about 5:30, so about an hour after the game ended. And, you know, what is it, about 15 miles from the stadium to the Wilson Bridge, the Virginia border?
Yeah.
It was an hour 15, which is not the amount of time I prefer for that drive to be.
No. I see, my home drive wasn't, I left about the same time. Of course, I only have to get to downtown D.C. You have to get back to Richmond. And have to deal with 495, but okay, noted. Dear Harris Group and Company, I know that you're working on it. I know it's a priority, but we still have some issues with the gresses. That is...
Well, and look, I've been to games at Foxborough. I've been to games at Arrowhead, you know, AT&T Stadium, right? Jerry World.
Yeah.
I mean, those are all primo venues. All of them, you sit in traffic after the game. It's 80,000 people getting dumped out. You know, there's just no amount of roads that correctly handles that. Unless, and here's the key, Craig Hoffman, unless there's viable mass transit next
Correct.
To the stadium, in which case you can pull it off.
You don't have to tell me. I went to the Olympics in Paris where it was awesome.
All you need is to build a stadium on a metro stop, and many of your problems get solved instantly.
Yes. So, or build a metro stop for the stadium. Now, whoa.
Solving the world's problems.
That's what we're doing here. And we're also probably going to start breaking down football now, Michael, because otherwise everyone's going to tune out. Michael and I got to sit next to each other during the game yesterday. So, Michael, I know many of your thoughts from during the game, but having done whatever watching back you've done, any ruminating on things, what's the thing that as we sit here 25 hours after the game ended, what's the thing that you're still thinking about from yesterday's game, the Commanders' first win of the season?
I think Jaden Daniels getting knocked out of the game was obviously incredibly scary in the moment, and in retrospect, potentially a turning point for this offense this season. I felt like in the moment, he played differently when he returned. I feel like on watching the tape, it was a combination of that and the game being called differently on his return. Either way, I liked it an awful lot. I like what Cliff Kingsbury has done through two games. Obviously, I have quibbles, as anybody does, but on the whole, I give him high marks. Jaden Daniels, remember that MTV show where they took the kids to prisons? I think it was called Scared Straight. I wonder if they got scared straight a little bit yesterday when he got knocked out after three consecutive runs, an unacceptable consecutive number of quarterback runs. After that, it sure felt like he found a rhythm. And yeah, I didn't appreciate it as much in the moment because it kind of felt inevitable, I think, at the time. But he was really smooth in that two-minute drill at the end of the game, too. And we can't take those things for granted because that is a really special quarterback skill.
No, it is. And as he said, he actually put it really well. Like, this is where the kind of the heroes are made. This is where a name is made in this league, is those two-minute moments. And it's not too big for him. The throw to Noah Brown is fantastic. But even rewinding back to the moment you talked about, so that drive starts with 8:16 to go in the second quarter, the drive that he gets knocked out on. It's a first and 10. He vacates a clean pocket. He had Luke McCaffrey, I think, on a crosser there. I don't really know why he didn't throw it, but he vacates a clean pocket, takes a hit. Second down, they run a QB draw. That's the call I hated most
that's
in the game.
One.
That's the one. That's like the only call this year that I'm like 100% I'm out on that. He just took a hit. I know you're sequencing your plays. There's no reason at second and 11 at your own 15-yard line after your quarterback just took a hit. If you want to run the ball on second and long, fine. Hand the ball off. Do not expose him to another hit. And then on third and 13, Michael, like, I actually love the decision for him to run there because he has checkdowns that aren't going to get the first down, and he got the first down. Now, of course, he takes a helmet to the gut and gets the wind knocked out of him, and that's less than ideal. But, like, on the decision there, I am in favor of it. I'm in favor of him going, I am not going to just be a quarterback who settles for an 8-yard check down and a couple of stat pads on third and 13. What do you make of the decision? Then we can get to how the game shifted from there.
Yeah, absolutely. It was in third and 13. You want to get the first down at all costs, right? And we've seen that play out in games where guys, you know, take hits they wouldn't normally take and guys lay it out on the line. I am blanking. There was a college game this weekend where a dude, I think it was Florida State, Memphis. Memphis went for it on a fourth down late in the game, you know, to seal it. And the running back, I mean, ran into a hit that destroyed him, but got the first down by about half an inch. That's what you do with the game on the line. That's what you do in the big moments. That was correct. I think you and I see this the same way. It was unacceptable to expose him to the quarterback draw on second down. You've got to change your game plan at that point. But yeah, third and 13, if we are doing the big picture, like when should Jaden run, then is the answer. You know, there will never be a scenario where that's not a good time for the quarterback to run if he can pick up a first down, because that's when you extend drives, and that's when you keep the ball away from the other team and put points on your board.
So then the play right after that, Michael Phillips, of course, with us here on the Hoffman Show, Michael, from 910 The Fan down in Richmond, which you can also listen to on the free Odyssey app, his show 10 a.m. to noon. So after that play, Driscoll comes in, hands the ball off, and then they run a quick slant. It's like a double slant concept. He hits Terry. Love that. Easy, quick throw. Get him in rhythm. Get the ball out of his hands. Easy read. He then throws the hospital ball to Terry, which upon watching the tape, Michael, I actually understand why he threw it. That linebacker just peels off Zach Ertz in a way that you probably wouldn't expect as a rookie quarterback. That, like, oh, NFL linebackers can do that? I got to worry about that guy. And so he misses Terry as Terry almost gets decapitated. But then he like his footwork's a little bit messy on a 2nd and 13. He misses Terry, and then he has a great scramble because the tight end screen gets completely blown up. But they ultimately like work it down to getting into field goal range again. But I agree, like some of that drop back. I loved the quick game to Terry. And then what did you see kind of as the game evolved from that drive that you thought was different and better than however they were handling the game up to that point and that turning point of him leaving?
Yeah, I think they – I don't know if they took things out of his hands or if he put things in his hands or whatever it was, but it sure felt like he looked first to the pass. Running was absolutely still on the table for him through the end of the game, but it felt like he was doing a little better job of looking for that receiver first before he just committed to the run, you know, kind of blindly without looking at the options. And I think Cliff Kingsbury did a nice job setting up concepts as the game went on, which is what you want out of an offensive coordinator, where Jaden's life was easier in the second half because a lot of the first half stuff, I thought, set up a lot of the second half stuff, which is really what you want, you know, in a game plan. You want to make sure that it all is cohesive, that it all flows together. I thought that took some of the load off of him. You know, I agree with what you said about the footwork. It's not perfect yet. I also am totally good with watching this play out and learn in real time, especially because he's not going to cost this team games. The secondary is going to cost this team games, which I'm sure we'll talk about. So the fact that he's not going to be on the hook for any of these losses, I think allows me to say, hey, look, let's stick with this, even if it's maybe not the most direct path to victory. I think it's the best path in the long term.
Yeah.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
For sure. Michael Phillips with us here on the Hoffman Show. The offense, there's some good, and there's like the offense I look at is like there's some good and there's some opportunities for growth. I don't know how much actual bad there is because everything that's quote unquote bad within the vacuum of this game is really opportunities for growth moving forward. The defense, Michael, that we might look at a little bit differently. What do you look at as a legitimate problem for right now, like an unexpected problem? And what do you look at as like, hey, this is just something that's a reality of what they have to deal with, and they're going to have to game plan around it?
Yeah, I think you and I will carve this one up the same way. The reality is the situation at corner where Michael Davis got benched, Noah Igbinami got in, and I mean, he didn't do better, I don't think, remarkably better. You had to make the change. Dan Quinn, after the game, said it's still an open competition, which I read to mean neither of them really gave you what you wanted there. I thought St. Juice had a nice game, so that's good. I think the rookies have been less impactful than I hoped for, and obviously there, a left tackle, you got an injury situation, so that's not fair to judge off of. But as Stan Ristel, I don't think has been quite the impact player I was maybe hoping he'd be right out of the gate. Doesn't mean he won't be long-term. The situation that's developing here is up front. Notwithstanding, I thought Cleveland Farrell, you know, second game had a sack, obviously.
You, Richmond Homer.
That's pretty good. On the whole, that group is not good enough to justify keeping Allen and Payne through the trade deadline. And I think that's kind of the marker I'm going to put down here, is that you need to either get that group performing better and assisting the operation, or it's time to send one of them off for some assets and some draft picks at the trade deadline. That decision is going to come a lot quicker than you'd like it to, probably.
Agreed. Allen, like, do you think Allen and Payne are playing at the same level? Do you see one is worse or in more trouble than the other? Like, how do you see that situation if we focus in on the two guys who are making two of the five biggest contracts on the team?
Yeah, to quote every coach I've ever covered, I'd probably need to spend a little more time with the tape. My sense is, and I'll defer to you on this one because I know you have spent that time with the tape, my sense is they're not asking Payne to be a disruptor so much as they're asking him to clog up run lanes. That is a tougher assignment to grade, and obviously that means if we're not calling his name, that actually means he's doing his job. First glance, I'd probably say Allen's the more of the culprit. It's a group project, though, and the group has failed the project, though, that, you know, as a D-line, especially with what you've got at corner right now. And, you know, look, I'll throw the linebackers into this. I like both of them. I like Luvu and Wagner, but certainly they participate in that pass rush, and it just hasn't been good enough.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the pass rush thing is tough. Because, like, Duron, I think, has been the more impactful pass rusher, is the simple version of it. I think John has largely been a non-factor as a pass rusher. I think Duron has pushed the pocket a couple times. I think Duron, on both of Farrell sacks, actually, since take your hometown Cleveland Farrell, not that he hasn't been good, just, you know, a little needle, a little fun. But I think on both of Farrell sacks this season, Duron has actually been the impetus for both of those. He's flushed the quarterback that way. Farrell has done a good job of being disciplined in his rush lane, and he eats up the sack, and that's his job. So good job 94, good job 99. I think the thing that's really interesting is, like, John, more so than Duron, has taken himself out of plays at times. And they've both done it, though. And my question that I don't have a great answer to at this time, and this is one of those where, like, if we were still in the locker room, we would go asking around and seeing if anybody would tell us anything. D. Lyman, famously, not the most willing talkers.
Yes.
But maybe, Anthony, now that I'm spitballing out loud here with Michael, I'm going to give both him and us a guest idea. We should see if Kedrick Golston wants to come on this week. Because Ked would have a good answer to this. But Michael, my thing is, like, are they being taught to be really aggressive and now they're going to have to figure out, now that teams realize how aggressive they are, that that's going to be used against them some? Or are they freelancing too much and causing problems, which, of course, has been a problem with this defensive line through multiple coaching staffs now over the last couple of years?
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of the great ending disappointment of the Ron Rivera era, that the one thing we all felt good about what he created was that defensive line. And you're not hearing, you know, I know Sweat's having some success, but it's largely just kind of faded away. And these are just guys. I still want Payne on my team. I think Payne still has a lot to offer. But as a whole, this group just never really reached its potential. And certainly the things you mentioned are factors here. If you get Cat, I'd love to hear his thoughts on whether there weren't too many stars on those defensive lines, if that was a potential obstacle along the way. But the bottom line here is, yeah, you're hoping Johnny Newton comes along quickly. I think 12 snaps was the number coming off injury. That's fine. Get him, you know, back in it. When you get him good enough that you can put somebody else as inactive, Jamin Davis can take some more snaps, give you a little something off the edge there that he wasn't able to bring yesterday. I think there are paths forward. I just don't think they involve the 2024 team being really good at this position.
No, I think that is unfortunately fair. Hopefully they can turn around and just be better, like be more solid. And I will say the last piece of this, since you mentioned the trade part, is Allen is easier to trade contractually. Duron and Terry are on similar timelines. If you think of those three players as kind of the three remaining best stalwarts, contractually, Terry and Duron both have an extra year compared to John's contract, which means you'd have dead money. But nobody wants to hear about all the contractual stuff. Just that's deep enough in that pile. Michael Phillips with us for another minute or two here on the Hoffman Show. And Michael, I don't know if you knew this, but we haven't had the internet for the last like hour. The internet's back. So
let's go.
We're a fully operational radio show. We're back on the internet. We have graphics on the internet. We have sound bites and effects. So that's exciting. I also have one final question for you, which is, what do they do at corner? And I realize that there's probably not a great answer here, but they're going to have to do something. Do you have any outside or inside the box ideas?
I think outside the team ideas are probably what you need here. You probably need to just treat the season as an open audition and, you know, find the 10 best guys who aren't on rosters right now and, you know, start cycling them through Ashburn and see if one of them can stick and if you like one of them, because, you know, I'm not sure I see a lot of internal solutions to the problem. I don't think it's a coaching problem. Obviously, I was quite outspoken, as I think you were last year, that a lot of their problems were coaching problems. I think this year it's far more talent problems than coaching problems. Of course, you know, you learn things after the fact as well, so it's hard to say anything definitively from our view here. But I would bring in auditions and bring in guys. It's also, it's funny, you know, I'll bring in Austin Seibert. You know, do we know if he's a good kicker or not? And the funny thing is we kind of don't. He made 6 extra points yesterday, essentially. And I'm really glad he did. But if Cade York had been around yesterday, he might have gone 7 for 7, too. And if Austin Seibert had been here 2 weeks ago, he might have missed the 54-yarder in Tampa, right? So much of it is situational and who you play and when you play and who you go up against. Now, that said, I do think the Giants was probably one of the easier gigs this year for those corners. So I don't love that they did not pass that test.
Yeah. I mean, that said, like, Malik Nabers is sick. So that's the good news, if you will. The bad news is
I think everybody's got one of those now.
Ja'Marr Chase is next. So and by the way,
everybody have one of those now except us.
Well, I was about to say there is one team. This was something I was texting with Keim earlier about this, and I just kind of posited the question: what would happen if Cliff decided we're gonna spam Terry in the same way that Minnesota spams JJ or Dable spammed Nabers yesterday? 18 targets. Not that I think that he is the same guy, but I just, as a science experiment, I want to know what would happen. Like, would he have, let's say they got him 18 targets. Does he have 9 catches? Does he have 15 catches? Does he average 3.7 yards a catch like he did yesterday? Does he average 25 yards a catch because he takes 2 of them to the house? Like, it's a finicky position receiver. Some guys clearly are at a different level. I think Chase, for what, you know, whatever it's worth, that we'll see next week, next Monday night. I guess you'll join us to preview that one. He's on that 10 out of 10 level. Terry's not. But what would happen if you treated him like that for a day? I just want to know.
I also want to know. I want to know what it's like to have a number one receiver who gets catches in football games. That's a thing I join you in wanting to know, Craig Hoffman.
Whatever it's worth, his career high in targets is 14. He's had it twice. He had 10 and 11 catches, and it was over 100 yards. So I don't know. I might mess around and find out again at some point this season if I'm Cliff. But right now, just keep 5 upright, and we'll live with the rest. Michael Phillips, he'll be talking about all of this 10 a.m. to noon on 910 The Fan in Richmond, which you can listen to on the free Odyssey app. And yeah, Michael, I guess next Monday you'll join us to preview Monday Night Football.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, you know, I don't know that I'm going to bring a lot of cheer and optimism, but I will bring my trademark happiness.
Trademark happiness and bits, because, you know.
Bits.
That's really your job around here, Michael, let's be honest.
I plan to live up to the billing.
Excellent. Michael Phillips, everybody. Thank you, sir. And I'm excited that we're seatmates now.
Yeah. I guess I'll see you at the Browns game next. So a winnable game, as they say.
Winnable. Hey, any given Sunday, Michael, unless you're the Panthers. All right. See you, buddy. That's it. That's all. Michael Phillips, everybody, with us here on the Hoffman Show. Speaking of the Panthers, they made news today. They're benching Bryce Young. Yep. Nope. They're really benching Bryce Young, their number one overall pick from last year, based off what happened yesterday. So that's a yikes for them. We'll let you know what happened around the rest of the NFL and how our picks did as well next here on the Team 980.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.